Venerable religious brothers and sisters, and dear parishioners, this parable that our Lord gave about the laborers being hired was given, I believe, the day before Palm Sunday. So it was from a series of parables and instructions that our Lord was giving for a good week and a half before his passion and death. And the point that he's getting across to the chosen people, the Jews, is that they're not the only ones that the message of the gospel is being given. It's also being given to the Gentiles, who are the latecomers, so to speak. Now remember that the Jewish people go back to the time of Abraham. He's considered the father of the chosen race. That was 25 centuries before Christ. And for 25 centuries, God dealt with his chosen people in a very special way. He made a covenant with them, with Abraham. He renewed that covenant with Jacob. He renewed that covenant with King David. But it wasn't going to be just about them. And already they knew that, because when the Temple of Solomon was built, there was an outer courtyard for the Gentiles. You see, they weren't allowed to come into that court, which was just for the chosen people. If they were Gentiles, they had to stay in their court, the outermost court. But still, they were allowed to be there. They were allowed to come and pray at a distance from the temple. So God was already beginning to teach them in the Old Testament that they would be called at a certain point. So after 25 centuries, with the Gentiles being called, it looked like they were being hired at the 11th hour, around 4 or 5 p.m., towards the end of the day. And our Lord will even go so far as to say, "Many of you are called, but few are chosen." Many of the chosen people would reject him. And to this day, those who call themselves Jews still reject our Lord Jesus Christ. How sad. Because he more than abundantly proved his mission. He fulfilled all the prophecies which are there in the Jewish scriptures. And on top of that, he performed astounding miracles. So they were all called. St. Paul says in his letter to the Hebrews, I believe, God wishes all men to be saved. In other words, nobody is created for hell. But people have to respond. There's that scary thing about having a free will. We can refuse to do the right thing. We can refuse to accept the gospel. We can refuse to be faithful to God. So this is not just a lesson for the Jewish people. When our Lord was saying, "Many are called, but few are chosen," it's also for every single one of us. The church begins today the pre-Lenten period. And it's one of the many problems with the modern Church of Vatican II. They've abandoned the pre-Lenten period. There's no Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima Sundays. We're putting on the color of purple. The Gloria has disappeared from the seasonal Mass, and we will no longer hear the Alleluia till Easter Sunday. So they have gotten rid of that, and that can only be a bad thing, because, as we know, it's how well you prepare for something that you actually do well in something. So the church very wisely gives us the pre-Lenten period to transition us from the Christmas Epiphany season to be ready when Ash Wednesday arrives. And what's the message the church gives us so that we may be one of those chosen instead of the many that do not heed the call? The church puts the epistle of St. Paul before our eyes today. And even the great St. Paul, who suffered so much for Christ, tells us, "I fight as not beating the air. I chastise my body and bring it into subjection. Thus, perhaps, after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected." In the breviary readings today for Septuagesimus Sunday, we begin with the book of Genesis, and we're going to read about the fall of our first parents. So the church is very powerfully and wisely and effectively preparing us for Lent, to be thinking ahead. What will I be doing? Make plans now to have a good Lent. And Lent is the season of really tilling the field and doing the hard and painful work of preparing for a good planting. But the planting will be only as good as the field preparation. And the farmer, even before he starts to prepare the field, he has to be planning ahead of time. When am I going to start doing this? The farmer will start rousing himself from perhaps the doldrum that may be there, you know, before any crops are planted. He's getting himself ready. It's interesting also to know why the Romans called the month of March the month of Mars, because Mars was their god, the false god, of course, of war. And the Roman army began to do their difficult preparations, their training in the month of March. And that's where we get the word martial from. So Lent always occurs during the month of March. So interesting tie-in there. So we need to chastise our bodies too. We need to do penance. We need to sacrifice, give up things that we like, endure painful situations, you know, fasting, giving, you know, lessening our sleep. This is how we chastise the body. And it's to bring it into subjection. If we don't do this, we won't be able to persevere. No wonder our Lord would say, "Unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish." It's not, of course, the gospel of the world. The world tells us, have your heaven now. The world has no concept, no use for Lent, the idea of setting a season aside. Of course, we have to do penance throughout our lives. But Lent is that time of special focused penitence when we're all doing it together. You know, one of the criticisms that is given to the church, it's that you're all about repression. You know, you're denying yourselves. But don't people also deny themselves for an earthly crown? Do they not make many sacrifices to be a success in education or a job or sports? You know, they, as St. Paul says, look at them, look at what they will do to receive a perishable crown. They'll abstain from so many things. They'll give up so many things. Isn't that repression? Isn't that sacrifice? But we're doing it for a crown that cannot be taken away, that cannot be lost, as long as we persevere. And remember, ultimately, it's about love. In order to love, we have to sacrifice. We're reminded of that on Valentine's Day. Remember that Valentine's Day is all about a priest who died for Christ, he paid the ultimate price. In love for Christ, he endured suffering and death. And to this day, and I'm sure most people don't think about this, but you know, we memorialize his feast day, St. Valentine's Day. Legend has it that before he died, he wrote a penned a note to the jailer's daughter. Remember, he was in prison preparing for his martyrdom. And at the same time, he was, again, this isn't absolute historical fact, but I certainly see no reason not to believe it. But he was catechizing the jailer's daughter, and she happened to be blind. And he said that he would pray that she recover her sight. And he was instructing her out of love. What's good for this young lady that he so happened to come into contact, you know, to had communication with while he was in prison? And as he prayed for her physical sight to be restored, more he was even praying for her spiritual sight, the light of faith to come on in her soul, so to speak. And both were achieved. And in his note that he penned to her, he signed it, "Your Valentine." And he was no doubt praying that she would also make it to heaven one day. So remember, the lowest kind of love is the romantic or the feeling that comes along with love. As enjoyable as it is, we know it just isn't going to last or always be there in that way. True love is in the will. It's the willingness to do what's right for somebody, at whatever cost it may be to us. So let us aspire to this love. This is the love that Christ came to teach us. And remember, in Lent, as we look at his terrible sufferings and death, remember it was for love of us. He could not give a greater proof than what he did. As has been said before, when God created the millions and billions, perhaps, of galaxies in the universe, it didn't cost him anything. He didn't lose anything from his infinite nature as God. But when he laid down his life for us, it cost him everything. It cost him his blood. It cost him his life. And he did it to teach us the true and ultimate meaning of love. So may we grow in love of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Mother as we prepare for the holy season of Lent. May we be inspired by the example of all the saints, Saint Valentine, all of them, who taught us to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.